It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. I just said to Nathan Forlina, this is why people retire to South Carolina or Florida from here, because we just live in weather hell, Nathan. What do you think is worse, the cold and the snow over the winter, or literally like 100 consecutive days of rain?
Well, I feel like this is the worst stretch of rain we've had in a long time. So, I mean, it's usually not this bad, but I'd rather take the snow and the coldness over the rain, because at least, like, you know, in winter you're not outside doing stuff all the time.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. However, we were looking good next week, Friday through next Wednesday. We don't see any rain in the forecast as of 4:01 on June 17th. So hopefully,
as of 4:04, we're gonna have a tornado and a hurricane hit next week, I'm sure.
Potentially. You never know here in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Nice hotbed for the weirdest weather you can imagine.
Here's the thing. You hear me say this all the time, okay? And again, this is one of the many differences between me and you. Does the rain impact your life a significant amount?
Not as much as you. It impacts it a little bit, but it's not horrible.
My entire life is impacted by rain. When you have kids and you're involved in spring sports here, and like every single thing you have every day on your calendar has something to do with being outside, you can see how I will say the nice flowery word, perturbed.
Okay.
But you can see how I would get pretty effing pissed off all the time.
I can see it, and you know, maybe 20 years down the line, whenever I have kids playing sports and, you know, our entire day hinges on it, I might be the same way. But as of right now, you know, there's stuff I can't do. I'd love to go sit outside and get work done on my, you know, for school and stuff like that on the porch. But other than that, I mean, I guess my life isn't impacted significantly by the weather as much as yours.
And older people, maybe it's not. I do think as I mentioned, you know, I know a lot of people actually have had several neighbors that have retired to Myrtle Beach. And I know people who have moved down to Florida. For me, I mean, the reason would be because of the cold. As you get older, you just can't deal with the cold anymore. You can't handle the cold and the snow. So my wife and I have talked about that. She's an Altoid.
I think that's extremely overrated. I'm sorry. I know that some people's excuses, suck it up and deal with it. It's not the end of the world.
Oh, my God, man. You're so
I hate driving.
You're so freaking young.
Driving in the snow is a pain in the butt, but besides that, like, the cold's not horrible. Like, you can deal with it.
This is just another one of those examples, though, that you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That might be. Or maybe I'm tough and I'm built like that.
Here's the deal. What? I know I sound like just an old man all the time. I
mean, is it Antarctica here in freaking Altoona?
Able to deal with at 20 and 30 and 40 is not the same as when you get old. It's just not. When you have a house, and I hope you have a huge house on 7 acres of land and a massive driveway, that you're going to have to get out and snowplow 15 times a year when you're 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75. You see what I'm getting at? At some point, that's why people can't handle it anymore.
I'm picking up what you're falling, because it is a pain to shovel. Shoveling would be a pain to your 75-year-old.
I'll tell you a real quick story here, okay? I have very distinct moments in my life that I can remember. I was invincible as a kid growing up, athlete, never broke a bone, never really injured. He pulled my hamstring one time playing baseball. I played sports my whole life. I was playing in a pickup basketball league when I was 29. And I tweaked my back. stuck with me for 3 months. That had never happened before, ever, under any circumstance, with any injury, okay? 29 years old. Because they always say, well, things change when you get to 30 and 40 and 50. These aren't made up things, you know. These are real things. So I remember at 29, that back injury stuck with me for a long time, okay? Then at like 48, literally, I was sitting at home on a Tuesday night. I was looking at my phone. I was sitting in my recliner, and I was looking at my phone. Had my contact lenses in. Looking at my phone. Blah, blah, blah. Everything's good. I looked up for a minute. I looked back at my phone, and it was blurry. It happened that quick. It happened in like 5 seconds. And so now I have to have readers all the time, which is why I actually wear my glasses more now.
My dad tells that story all the time where he made fun of people all the time. Yeah. And it hit that age. And
5 seconds.
It happened.
It happened literally in the blink. This was two and a half years ago. I look at my phone. I looked up. I looked back at my phone, and I really couldn't see it anymore. And now at 51, I'm in pretty good health. But what I'm saying is,
although that McDonald's, yeah,
that's exactly right. We're gonna talk. I got another food topic here in a second. This was gonna be awesome. But it happens when you're 20 and 25 and 28, and what you think like, I'm invincible, baby. Nothing's gonna happen. But as you get older. Things happen that you get pissier. You don't want to deal with shoveling snow anymore. You don't want to deal with rain for 100 consecutive days. So you move to Florida.
Yeah, I can see it. I'm not saying I don't see it. Maybe if you ask this question 30 years down the line, it might be completely different. But as of right now, I enjoy four seasons.
I do too.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't enjoy the rain. The rain, I can go without.
I'm like that too. I do enjoy four seasons. I typically, knock on wood, don't mind the snow as much. I got my new vehicle. I got an all-wheel drive now, it'll be better now. But the rain this year has just infuriated me. It's literally we've had rain.
It's been like a consecutive month.
We've had rain on Saturdays. I don't know exactly what the number is. I saw a thing on that the other day. We've had rain every Saturday for like 10 consecutive weekends. It's like an all-time record. It's like, and again, this impacts me. What do I do every Saturday?
You're out of a baseball
tournament. We're at a baseball tournament that gets rained out, that costs us hundreds of dollars. So I think that part of it, oh, man. Rob from Bedford is calling in, and you see what it says on the screen here? It says, grouchy old.
Oh, my gosh.
P word.
Are you not allowed to say that word?
You're not allowed to
say
that.
Okay, I didn't realize you weren't allowed to say that.
It rhymes with trick. Grouchy old rhymes with trick. I am, and I'm guessing you are, too.
Oh, my Lord, am I ever, dude. And as we speak, listen to this. I'll preface this. You know how once you get older, hair grows everywhere except for on top of your head? At least that's my case. I'm leaning over, just plucking my ears, something that takes about an hour out of my day, and my back hurts so bad just from doing that. When I was a youngster, teenager, 14, 15, I was a show-off, like constant show-off. I would ride my skateboard as fast as I could into the grass to see how far it would fling me in the air if people were watching.
Yep.
I would jump right up. I mean, we would beat the holy hell out of each other. We were the most immature group of kids to walk the earth.
And, did you have a bicycle, Nathan, and you as well, did you have a bicycle that you'd set up a ramp at the bottom of a hill so you could ride as fast as you could and see how far you could Evel Knievel through the air?
I wasn't doing that because I wasn't trying to kill myself at the age of 15.
That was definitely
so. I was doing that. I was trying to kill myself at age of 15.
I was going to do that had I not broke my jaw when I was in fourth grade because my bicycle came apart, fortunately, right in front of my house.
I got to know, how'd your bicycle, because I got a story on this, how'd your bicycle come apart?
From abusing it. It was a Huffy, and the neighbor fixed it, and he felt so bad that he bought me Christmas gifts until he died. But I was coming home. The bike was coming apart. I had one little jump that I wanted to pull in front of the house before I pulled in and ended for the day. Pulled the forks right out of the frame. Jaw splatter on the road. Bloody murder. 12 stitches. Couldn't eat for a month. Had to learn how to eat again because I lost so much weight. hell, that's just, the jaw isn't too bad. My back, I have mulch in my yard. I had a truckload. I have to do two loads at a time, come in, stop, go back out. If I had to do hard labor again, I couldn't do it, man. I feel healthy other than that, but this back problem, and it hurts so bad right now, and I heard you venting, I was like, I got to get in on
this. I'm showing Nathan, as we speak, a picture of this sweet bastard from 1987. You see what that says? Huffy
Sigma.
Huffy Sigma bicycle. Rob, anybody in their 40s or 50s, if you remember these, it was a bicycle. It had the white rims on the tires. It had white tires, and then had like those white plastic rims on the tires. I had one of these. This was living large in 1987. All right, see the white.
I went to the discount rack. I had a Huffy too, but you had like the.
I had the high end. See the white seat.
Yeah, I can see that white seat.
Has a white seat on it. I got a ramp going down this little hill one time. This is like 1988. I'm 14, 15 years old. Corey Geiger almost died this day, but I jumped this ramp. And as I come down, the seat came off with the metal bar exposed underneath it. And Corey Geiger might have died. I might have been like Cheryl Geiger for the rest of my life. Because if I would have come down the wrong way, this would have just impaled me like severely in the you-know-what. Luckily, I came down in front, like on that bar.
Yeah.
So I just racked myself something fierce on the bar instead of dying, having that bar go up. So anyway, that's what we did,
terrible.
Nathan. That's what we did. If I did that now, I would probably start crying and go hide in a corner if somebody made me try to do that now.
There'd be some police at the bottom of the block. Yeah, they would not even allow that to
happen
anymore.
That's right.
When I was 15, I went off the junior high Hollidaysburg school steps with a group of friends, broke my ankle, 8 steps. Some truck saw the situation and was a good Samaritan, pulled in, put me in the back of their truck, took me home, only for my mother to come running outside. She thought they hit me with the car and I had to talk her down. I'm like, no, Mom, they brought me home. She just saw me hobbling in a door and a truck pulling away. She did the same thing with the jaw incident. I might have been my grandmother that time, but yeah, I was injured constantly. I had an acorn jammed up my nose when I was 5 years old, but I did myself, had to have it removed in emergency. I could go on and on. Broke same kid, Hetrick, the kid that used to have in, the guy that was your intern, his cousin Mike Hetrick broke my thumb 2 different times, accidental both times, playing football. Same 4 kids. You can't write this up. I knew it was broke the second time. I still had the thumb cast. I just went home and put it on and wore it for a month. I didn't even go back to the doctor. But same kid accidentally broke my thumb twice. Can't write that.
See, when you hear all this, Nathan, do you think like we're just old geezers that look back on our lives? Or do you think like at some point this is going to be you as well looking back on when you used to be all carefree wearing your Wisconsin Badgers hoodie around and with no cares in the world?
I mean, yeah, this is how everybody is. Once you have like different responsibilities, you're going to look back on, like I'm going to look back to when I was 20 years old and all I had to care about was showing up here and going to school. So. Instead of having to drive my kids around.
And doing music trivia, which is the greatest job ever.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
I think Nate's starting to see that I kind of march to a beat of a different drum, and I like that.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. 9460435. That's not even what I wanted to talk about today. We got some other things to get into, but that allowed me to at least smile because I've been surly here for the last couple of hours with all the rain and everything.
You were able to tell your Evel Knievel bike story.
That's right.
I'm assuming you said it on air at some point before.
I've probably told the story before, but I've never been able to show the picture. That's a sweet bike, man.
Yeah.
This 1987
bike. I didn't realize that was the trend back in the 87.
Oh, my God. This bike was just unbelievable. You had to have the bike with the white rims. It was the coolest thing
that
in the
elevated
world.
You to the top of it, the food chain.
It did. I lived in a neighborhood with 150 kids, so we were the elite class of the bicycle realm there until I crashed it.
Until you crashed it, then it was all downhill from there.
All right, so I have an interesting topic I'm going to bring up in just a second about tipping at restaurants.
It's a good one.
We talked about the fast food yesterday. Should we tip at restaurants? I'm going to take your calls on it in just a second after this break. Don't call in yet. I got a lot of thoughts on tipping. I got a lot of thoughts on it. But I wanted to first mention, in case you missed the news yesterday, Angel Reese has trademarked the word Mebounds, which I think is absolutely incredible for her to do. This will make her a lot of money. This will make her a lot of money. She's been ridiculed and made fun of because everybody says the only rebounds she gets are the shots she misses, and then she gets her own rebound. So they've called it Mebounds. I just heard this word for the first time last week. Now somebody, some brilliant person in her team has told her to trademark this word. I think it's a brilliant idea. Angel Reese, to me, we can talk about Caitlin Clark some other time this week, maybe, because there's a lot of interesting storyline. But is there a bigger villain? Who's the biggest villain in sports, all of sports, that you can remember in your lifetime? And I can make the case that it's Angel Reese. Somebody that everybody hates. See, a lot of people don't like LeBron, but a lot of people do understand LeBron's unbelievably awesome.
Do you think that the Chicago Sky fans, whoever they are, they
that's like, such a small number.
Okay,
my first
thought went to Bill Belichick or Tom Brady.
But I think there was a lot of people that respect. People will still tell you Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I'm trying to think in my mind. There's had to been some. You know, really, really cocky player that never lived up to the hype, but still.
Remember that guy? He actually got into a fight the other day with Dwight Howard, Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't.
Remember he blew into LeBron's ear.
He was just goofy.
He was just goofy.
He wasn't necessarily cocky. He didn't think he was the best player in the world.
The reason Angel Reese is fascinating to me is, one, she sucks, okay? She's been able to become famous and everything. She can rebound, but a lot of the rest of her game has just sucked. But she embraced it all. She told everybody, I want to be the villain. I'm okay being the villain. I'm okay doing. But then, because she sucked, then people realize she's getting notoriety for no real reason whatsoever. Hence the me bounds and all that.
You know, a name just popped in my mind that I think a lot of people just hate, and it's Jake Paul. I think Jake Paul is a good one to where. He doesn't have a...
I don't know that that's a name brand household name.
Yeah, it is.
You think 50... My wife wouldn't know who Jake Paul is.
You think 50 million people
no
would
way.
Know who
my
Angel
daughter,
Reese is? You think... I don't think so.
I think sports fans would.
You don't think sports fans know who Jake Paul is?
I really don't. I don't.
Do you think your wife knows who Angel Reese is?
Yes. We've actually talked about it.
Okay, if you never talked about... Could she tell you who Breanna Stewart is then?
No.
Something like that.
No.
Exactly.
No way. Yeah. No way. That's a good question of like how
Sue Bird.
No.
Megan Rapinoe.
No.
Alex Morgan.
No.
Exactly.
But how big do you have to be in a
Could you tell you Caitlin Clark?
In a big sport to become a household name. Like Angel Reese has become a
How many household names actually are there? Like is Kevin Durant a household name? I don't think so.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think your wife knows who Kevin Durant is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think if you pulled 20 people off
the street right now. I would say, this is kind of a random thing to say. I would say if you've been the lead story on ESPN a half dozen times, you're a household name. Angel Reese has been the lead story on ESPN a half dozen times.
Tyrese Haliburton?
Not yet, but I mean, if they were to win, they're not. If they were to win the championship this year and he hits another one, no.
That's what I mean. It's weird what makes you happy. I think it's relevancy for long.
I think
it needs to be for an extended period of time.
Here's how ridiculous. Angel Reese might be more of a household name than NBA MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I would agree with that.
Isn't that crazy?
I think so. But
and this is a player who sucks. Now, I did. Okay, look. I'm going to have a conversation about today and the future because I said this the other day. And you balked at it, and then she went and had a triple-double.
Yeah.
I made the claim that I think Angel Reese could actually end up being a really good WNBA player because if she decides that all of the criticism motivates. She doesn't have to improve in some gargantuan area. Okay? Let me make this case. I don't think Drew Aller is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he's going to be good at all. Drew Aller cannot throw over the middle of the field. If you can't throw over the middle of the field, you cannot be a high-quality NFL quarterback. I don't think he can do it. And learning how to do it might be the most difficult thing in the world other than like hitting a baseball. People can just say, throw over the middle, throw over the middle, throw over the middle, throw over the middle. Well, you know who's over the middle on an NFL field? Who's over the middle?
You got two middle linebackers. You got cornerbacks shadowing those
You
players.
Have anywhere between your own team and the defenders, you might have 14 players.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a net and an official that you got to throw around too because that gets in the way. Throwing over the middle of the field in the NFL, I would just say this. Any of you that think that you can throw a football really well, okay? Go out in the yard with your buddy, with your kid, with your dad, and have them run crossing routes 20 yards down the field, sprinting across the field, and you got to hit them in stride. You ever done that? You ever play that game with your friends?
I am not a quarterback. I will be the first one to admit.
I have a tremendous arm. My boy and I play quarterback all the time. I can throw the ball about 50 to 55 yards. We play crossing routes all the time. It's unbelievably difficult to hit somebody in stride.
Now do that whenever you have to see
do
over
that.
Offensive lineman,
Correct.
Defensive lineman.
Now do that when you've got somebody in your face. Now do that when that guy's guarded by the best athletes, some of the best athletes in the world who play cornerback in the NFL, and then you also mentioned linebackers dropping in coverage, hitting somebody in stride 20 yards down the field while they're sprinting across a 50-yard field, and you've got to lead them by the right amount, even if you are tremendous at throwing a football. Some of you might be. Some of you might have played high school quarterback. Some of you might still play flag football or whatever, and you're great at throwing a football, okay? Go try to lead people 20 yards down the field, over the middle of the field. Not throwing outs, not throwing back shoulder fades. Throwing over the middle of the field is incredibly difficult. Here's the reason why I'm mentioning this. I think learning that is going to be tremendously difficult for Drew Aller. Okay? You can agree or disagree or whatever. Putting back an offensive rebound is not a tremendously difficult thing. Okay? You see where I'm getting at? You see the distinction I'm making? Angel Reese, if she averages 12 rebounds a game, if she shoots 31% inside 5 feet, if she makes that 41%, she's all of a sudden a really damn good player. And you're talking about just focus, paying attention, some better footwork. You can work on all these things. I mean, seriously, if you are a professional athlete in the WNBA, granted, there's some basketball deficiency. I'm not getting all that. But if you're good enough to be big enough and strong enough to get an offensive rebound, you can learn how to score from 3 feet. You know, learning how to score from 3 feet is infinitely easier than learning how to throw over the middle.
Yes, and my comeback from that is this should have already been learned.
Sure.
Not saying that you can't learn it
but
now.
But in college and early on in her career, she was just the big chick. She just bullied people out of the way.
And she still does that in the WNBA.
Right, she still does it, but she just can't finish.
But she can't finish
If she learns how to finish three more of those a night, she goes from averaging 9 points to 15 points. And I said the other day, if she averages 14 points, 12 rebounds, and shoots 42% from the field, that's a really damn good basketball player.
It is. It is. I don't know if it's...
You don't have the... Now, you brought up a good point the other day, though, about whether she would even want to do it, because she wants to be famous.
Yeah, she's trademarking Mebound, so... That's where her head's at. No, that's extremely smart.
And podcasts.
That's extremely smart by her team, so I'm not knocking that one bit. I don't know if you saw the stat, though. I think the WNBA averaged 20.8 million viewers on Saturday, which was completely false, but a lot of networks were picking up and running with it. And then it was like, no, it was 2.8.
Right.
Like, they just put an extra
zero. Oh, my God.
But people
was this the Caitlin Clark game where she scored 25 in the first half?
It was the Liberty and the Fever game. But
and
like,
what was that draw, and what was the percent of the overall TV rating with that game?
I'm not sure what the draw
that
is.
That game was probably 80% of whatever number they're coming
up sure.
with.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But I thought it was hilarious that people actually believed that it was a
20 million game people watched the WNBA
than, like,
game.
All the WNBA or all the NBA Finals games, all the World Series games, all the Stanley Cup Finals games. I mean, come on. What are we doing? What are we doing? Right. But it was pretty funny mix-up that I saw. I was like, come on. I can't believe people are believing this.
We're going to take a break. I want to ask everybody what you think of tipping at restaurants is in our country. And look, I know everybody's saying, well, of course you tip. You have to tip. Well, why? Why is our country like this? Why do you have to tip? Why can't restaurants just pay more? I got a lot of thoughts on this. We're going to get into it after the break.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Ready for that summer road trip? Make sure your vehicle is ready. Make a trip to Russell Tire in Altoona or Central PA Truck and Equipment in Claysburg for their summer savings special. Get lube, oil, filter service, inspection of all belts and hoses, tire air pressure set, tire rotation, brake inspection, and battery inspection. All for just $59.99. And to help you stay cool and comfortable on that road trip, take advantage of their air conditioning performance check for only $59.99. Be ready for the road this summer with a trip to Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, or Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
If this is the year you buy equipment from the Kubota family, it's time to meet the McCoy family from McCoy's Lawn and Garden. For over 40 years, McCoy's Lawn and Garden has been a trusted name for homeowners, contractors, and the agricultural community right here in Central PA. Why Kubota? It's simple. Kubota has a track record of durable and dependable equipment, state-of-the-art features, and something for everyone. Kubota offers the model, attachments, and implements you need, regardless of the job. And on top of all of this, you get the support of amazing dealers like McCoy's Lawn and Garden. Whether it's mowing your lawn, tackling summer projects around your property, managing a construction site, or running your farm, McCoy's Lawn and Garden has the full line of Kubota equipment. Kubota tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, and so much more. Follow the orange glow to McCoy's Lawn and Garden and check them out for yourself. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. Visit McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com. McCoy's Lawn and Garden. Kubota. Family. Community.
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
All right, I'm serious here with this tipping thing. I think tipping in our country is completely outrageous. Not that I don't want waiters and waitresses to get their money, but the way our country sets it up is astronomically stupid, okay? And then you get into, I don't think I've ever said this to you before, Nathan. Do you know what I think is the most powerful force in a society is?
What is that?
Peer pressure. Who you are as a human being on your own is not who you are as a human being around other people. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree.
What you do and think and feel and act by yourself, when you get around other people, forces start working on you. Societal forces start working on you. How do I fit in? Am I nervous? Do I look good enough? Am I ugly? Do I smell?
You're conforming.
Yeah. So peer pressure. So what's happened with our tipping culture, and this is a phrase, tipping culture, it's way out there. This has really come up the last couple of years in our country. What's happened is you used to tip 10%. But back before you were alive, you tipped 10%. That's what you tipped. And then all of a sudden it went to 15%. Like inflation just jumped up and it went to 15%. Now you are supposed to tip what?
18%.
20%. I always heard that you're supposed to tip 20%.
I thought it was 8, because usually whenever like you press like a tablet or something like that, it automatically goes 18.
So why?
So that's mine.
Why? Other countries don't do – Europe doesn't do this. Most of the rest of the world doesn't do this. Our restaurants pay wait staffs $2 and $3 an hour, so we feel like we have to do it. But then what ends up happening is, look, with all due respect to some of you who are wait staffs, maybe your kids are, grandkids, and they're tremendous waiters and waitresses.
Hard workers.
I would say that the vast majority of waiters and waitresses are terrific at their job, and they deserve whatever you feel the best tip you should get is. But some of them are absolutely horrible. Some waiters and waitresses are absolutely awful. They are jerks to you. They don't come and see you ever. They'll take your order, and then you're waiting for 45 minutes to get a drink refill. They deserve, in my opinion, zero. Absolutely nothing. Like zero pennies.
Have you ever given a zero?
I have. Probably 3 times. Now, you have to understand, because I said we eat fast food a lot. We eat out all the time. My wife and I, we eat out all the time. My standard is 20%. I almost do it without thinking. Okay? The bill's $57. We're going to tip $15. Or we're going to tip $12. That's about 20%, okay? It's easy to do from a math standpoint. It used to be easy to do when it was 10%.
10%, yeah.
When it was 15%, it got kind of goofy because figuring out 15%.
You had to pull out the calculator
at that point. But if you get a terrible waiter or waitress, you almost feel bad if you don't give them what society says you should. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes. To be fair, I don't think I've really ever had a horrible, not to like me paying. I don't think I've ever had like a horrible waitress or waiter. So I haven't been put in that situation yet. But I'm telling
you. Damn it. You're ruining my story.
I'm telling you, I would probably tip $0 though.
I've done it probably three. Now, again, folks. My wife and I, kids, I hate to admit that we eat out 15 times a month, okay? And when my wife and I were just dating, but we're married before kids, it was probably 20 times a month. So we're spending a lot of money on tips, okay? And I'm not complaining so much about the amount of money, because if we don't want to spend it, then we maybe shouldn't eat out. But what I'm complaining about is the way our society forces you to put up this arbitrary number. And quite frankly, I would venture to guess 25, 30, 33% of waitresses, waiters in this country are terrible. Not that they're horrible to you, but they're not giving you what you need. They're not there every time you need them. They're not there as frequently as you need them. They're not taking care of an issue. If it's just, take my order, bring me a drink, bring me a check, and that's it, that's one thing. But if you're there with kids, and you're there, if you're not ready to order, after four, what they do is they seat you, they take your drink. By the time they bring your drink back, they want you to be ready to order. This is all at restaurant etiquette. And then they're going to give you one refill, then they'll check up on you, then the tip. And that's just it. It's a very simple process. But when I take kids out, I might need them to come 6 or 7 times, okay? And it goes outside their norm. Well, if they don't meet what I want them to do, but they meet the minimum standards of what their restaurant wants them to do, I don't think they deserve my money.
I just thought of a story of actually a pretty terrible experience in which the food actually got canceled, so
right.
Wasn't even ate.
And
but
sometimes that's the cook's fault or whatever, yes. And that's not necessarily the way.
So what happened was there was an order, and like, it took about an hour, and we heard nothing.
Okay.
No, like the waitress was like
never came back.
Never. It was like avoiding us, and we eventually went up and was like, "Hey, we're gonna cancel the order." And like, "Oh yeah, we just threw your food in," and like didn't tell anything
right.
about it. And what happened was there was other people at the table with us, and they brought out like an empty ketchup bottle.
Oh no!
And we're like, hey, it's empty. So they went, they took it back to the kitchen. They brought out a fresh ketchup bottle, and someone else got a ketchup bottle. Like, they just put it right back in the fridge, didn't even refill it, because they brought it out and it was empty and it was cold.
That's bad.
That's whenever you shouldn't. Don't deserve
Here's the question: you go get a $25 steak, and the waitress makes $2.50 an hour. Or the steak costs $29 and they pay their wait staff a living wage and you don't have to tip. Which would you rather do?
I'd rather pay $29 and not.
Correct. Because what ends up happening, again, because of the peer pressure, you pay the $25 steak, and then when the bill comes in at $64, you still feel compelled to tip 15, 18, 20%, whether you got that level of service. I just think that our society, and now to-go orders, do you tip on a to-go order?
I was
order?
Just saying, this is the workaround, is what I'm starting to do.
I go to a restaurant, to-go I get a certain blooming shrimp thing at a certain restaurant. I get it all the time. It's $15.89. Should I tip anything?
If you're getting it to-go, no. Because the people, the cooks and the people that are up there dealing with to-go orders,
I give them $2. Probably shouldn't. Buffets. You go to a buffet. They get you drink. They literally do nothing for you other than bring you a drink twice. What's the tip for a buffet?
I do tip on buffets because usually you're getting solid value with the food anyway.
But the waitress has nothing to do with it.
You're right.
I mean, 10%, 15%, 20% at a buffet?
I tip 18. I usually standard tip 18%.
Yeah, tipping culture in our society is I usually tip 15% at a buffet. I think it should be 5%. I think you should get a dollar. I think you get 50 cents every time you bring me a drink. And if your employer can't afford to pay you more, that's their... See,
it should be like a privilege to get a tip. It shouldn't be the expectation.
All of this is our society's problem. I'm not necessarily criticizing waiters and waitresses. I'm criticizing our society in the United States of America. Why do we feel like this is the way to go? The rest of the world all thinks we're idiots for doing this.
Yeah, I don't understand. I wish it would go away, and if you have to throw 10, 15% upcharge on everything.
I'd rather do that, and then I would feel like I actually pay. And, you know, if the waiter or waitress goes above me on, you give them something. Yeah. But to feel obligated to give them 20% is asinine to me.
It is. I completely agree.
Nebraska man,
should just pay what they're...
You agree or disagree with me on this tipping thing, Nebraska man?
Well, Corey, there's so many different ways to go about this. You got it now. Back in during the Depression, back in the 1950s and 60s, when there was hardly anything around here, you had a lot of women out waitressing, and back then, if you got a 20 cent or 25 cent tip. Back then, you could get a quart of milk and a loaf of bread for that kind of money, but I believe that I should not be when I go and see my son in Philadelphia. No matter what restaurant you go into, before you look at your menu, it tells you right there you will be charged such and such and such so much tip when you're done with your meal. It's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe I shouldn't be told how much to give. I should believe what I want to give should be on the service of the person that's waiting on me.
But society, even if it wasn't mandatory, society will frown upon you if you tip less than what society deems is the appropriate amount. And right now the appropriate amount is 15 to 18%. I say 20%. But if you just say my appropriate amount is 7%, and you just want to go with that all the time, you're going to run into issues with wait staff at restaurants that will look down upon you.
Well, here's the thing, Corey. Why should I give? Like when my son and places, my son and my daughter-in-law come here, they love to go to Champs. They love Champs out of this world, and Champs is a really good place, and they're not cheap. But here's the thing, Corey. Why should I give a good waitress a $15 or $20 tip, then have to turn around and give a waitress just comes and says, "Yeah, hey, what do you want? See you later." Why should I give a waitress that isn't as up as the other waitresses who treats you real good, who comes around every now and then, "Excuse me, do you just need anything else? Do you need this? Do you need that with your meal? Do you need another drink? Compared to somebody else coming up, just taking your order, and then you got to say, hey, ma'am, excuse me, when you get time, why should I be obligated to pay that person the same amount as I am paying the person that's waiting on me hands and foot?
Yeah, good stuff. Appreciate it, Nebraska, man.
Completely agree.
Yeah,
I agree
with all of that. Here's the flip side. Robin Bedford texted me this because he says it's imperative to tip, save for a disaster experience, because these people need jobs and restaurants don't pay very well, and that's the only way they make money. And that's right, too. But why is this? Why is it this way?
The restaurant's making enough money. Why can't they pay their wait staff?
Why is it this way in our country? Why do we have a setup in our country? Again, the rest of the world doesn't do it this way. Okay, the rest of the world, they charge you what they charge you, and they actually pay their employees a living wage. They don't pay waitresses $3 an hour and then expect the rest to have to come up to tips. Why is it just the norm and acceptable that in this country it's okay and legally it's legal to pay people $3-$4 an hour and just expect the rest of us to foot the bill for their lives?
It's complete BS. That's the only way to put it. There's no reason. Again, the restaurants make enough money to where they need to pay the wait staff. And again, if you don't,
and if they don't, charge us more.
Yeah,
charge. That's what Apple does. I'm sitting here holding a $900 iPhone 15. My God, why would I have a 900? Well, because I'm willing to pay for it. If you're willing to go out, you're willing to pay whatever.
If a meal costs $18 and it's up to $22, but you don't got a tip anymore, people are going to be fine with that.
I do agree. I think people would be perfectly fine with it. What do you think, Clark, sir?
I think you need to make $1 million pretty soon.
Give it to me.
Going out to eat. Does anybody cook in the Geiger household?
Man, our lives are insane. If I told you what our lives are like, I get off here at 5:30. We have sports to 7:30 or 8. My wife gets off between 5:30 and 7:30 because she's working all kinds of crazy hours.
What are the kids learning in this?
They're learning. They're learning how to be pretty darn independent sometimes.
Yeah, here's the problem. You're rewarding mediocrity.
Yes, that's right.
You know, you're also, we've had a change in the restaurant pricing with inflation and everything. So right there, the waiter or waitress is participating in inflation because the price of it went from 20 to 25. Now you're talking a $4 to $5, you know, a dollar difference, 25% increase. If you then put it into the price of the product, it isn't going to go up by 20%. It's going to go up by more because the restaurant's going to build that in.
Absolutely, because the restaurants are going to be greedy bastards.
Yeah. The other thing is there's no training of these kids, of the a lot of waiters and waitresses. There should never be a situation when you get your entree that they hand you the plate. It should be put in front of you. But a lot of places you go to, they don't know how to do this.
I don't know if you have this out there. I've eaten at Waffle House many hundreds of times in my life. Okay? Yeah. This is my example. I've eaten at Waffle House many hundreds of times. Waffle House has always had pretty cheap food. It's a little more expensive now. But those waitresses work harder than any other waiters or waitresses at any restaurant. So let's do the math here. I go to Waffle House, and I get a $5 meal. I go to a nice steak restaurant, and I get a $22 meal.
Yes, it's built in.
Who's working harder, the Waffle House waitress or the steakhouse waitress? Who's working harder? Because I promise you, I'll guarantee you, and very few people in this country in restaurants working harder than Waffle House people.
She's probably going to see more traffic.
Okay, but when everything's done, my bill's $15 there, and I give her 20%. You know, can you do the quick math, Nathan?
That'd be $18.
$3 tip.
Well, yeah.
$3 tip. $3 yes, tip. Right. Versus just me ordering something, and if I never see my waitress again at the steakhouse, if I get a $22 steak at the steakhouse, and my waitress brings me the food, and I never see her again, a 20% tip is $4.40. So you see what I'm getting at? Even within the industry, it's stacked against people.
Yeah, I think if they increase the prices, I think they'll see less foot traffic is what it's going to come down to.
I don't know, maybe.
You know, I mean, you saw it with inflation, and you see you look on some of the menus now compared to what they were pre-COVID. It's happened since COVID. It's happened, you know, with what people are making. Now you also see the tax plan is saying not taxing tips, but they're moving the goalpost on that one a bit.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that was the initial plan anyway. All right, good stuff, man. Scott and Bellefonte, what do you got, man?
Hey, Corey, I may look at this a little differently than other people, but I used to work as a waiter in a restaurant for quite a few years, so I'm a little harsher, I think, on waiters or waitresses. I start out at 10% flat, and then the rest goes up based on their performance.
Even today, when the standard is 18-20%, you still start at 10.
But yeah, it's just like because the last guy said that the prices have gone up, so it's already going up. We just went to Japan. I was shocked when I got over there.
Yeah, they don't do it. They don't do it over there.
Yeah. I was ready to start tipping. My son's like, no, they don't tip over here. I'm like, what?
Do they even get offended, Scott, if you tip over there?
I didn't even try.
It's an interesting thing. So let's ask this. Nathan, I want to ask you this, Scott, too. If you frequent, here's the danger in what you're talking about with the 10%. Mm-hmm. If you frequent a place a lot, I go to Cracker Barrel. My wife and I have been to Cracker Barrel. Me personally, I've been to Cracker Barrel and Altoona 400 times. If I tipped, and I know all the waitresses and stuff, if I tipped 10% all the time, and then I go back and back and back and back and back, I get the feeling like somebody'd be spitting on my food, or they would be looking at me like Pirates fans look at Bob Nutting.
What's the movie with Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, Waiting. It's a tremendous movie. Yeah. Tremendous movie. But you see what I'm getting at? If it's a place you go to all the time, can you bottom out at 10% frequently, or are you going to get away with that very long?
That is the chance you take of getting something foul in your food, I guess. But I don't eat out as nearly as often as you do. But so I rarely have a bad experience, but there have been some where I've left, flat 10%.
All right, very good. Appreciate the call. I know it's not a sports topic, but when Nathan joined in a month or so ago, I wrote down a bunch of this. This was literally like the very first topic I wrote
culture. It's controversial because, I mean, there's people who think that you should be tipping no matter what, all this stuff. But, man, it should come down to service. It shouldn't be an expectation.
What did I say about peer pressure? Think about that truly. The human being that you are in your living room, you are not that person when you are around. You're not the same person when you're around two people. How about 15 people?
Yeah.
How about 70? You're a different person in all settings. And so to me, that's where the tipping culture has come into play, is like you feel the peer pressure that if you don't tip, then, like I said, they're gonna hate you.
I've also sometimes just go to like a round number just to make myself, like, if it's like 23, 32, I'll just round up to 24 or something like that. So it might be up like 21.
So you're giving them 68 cents?
Extra. I mean, with the tip already in there. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm getting 60. No, because if it was $22, let's say, you said, what, $4.40, I'd round it up to $5.
I see.
You'd make it $27.
So you feel good about it. You feel good about yourself. What about my Waffle House example? You go to Waffle House, you're there 45, 50 minutes. This person has filled up your coffee six times, and they get a $3 tip.
Yeah, I'm trying
because that's 20%.
I'm trying to think of restaurants around here, which is always just high, you know, action. People always move and they're never stopping.
But it's got to be a cheap place versus you get a wait job at a real expensive place.
If you go to Allegro, I'm sure there's not as much foot traffic in there as
that place is awesome.
I've never been to Allegro, so
it's fantastic.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Mexico City. It's only fitting that Mexican-born Daniel Suarez leads 19 laps on the day and takes home the trophy.
I actually, right now, I feel like this gave me a lot of confidence. I mean, when I crashed in qualifying, in the Xfinity qualifying, I went into Cup qualifying a little bit down. And I was good, but I was not 100% because you just crashed, right? It's normal. Everyone has those situations. But the feeling that I had in my car in qualifying, I was very happy with it. Very happy. I think my car was capable of being in the pole position. So this win just gave me the confidence I needed to go out there tomorrow and have fun and enjoy it, just like I did today. You know, today I just enjoyed the moment and I tried to maximize. My goal was not to win the race today. My goal was to maximize the potential for race car, and luckily things work out for us.
Let's see here. Taylor Gray was second, followed by Austin Hill, Christian Eckes, and Connor Zillish rounds out the top five. Your quick point standings, Justin Allgaier continues to lead by a massive 54 points over Austin Hill, both of those drivers with three wins so far this season. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is Pocono, Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on CW. You are on the final lap.
With Progressive Snapshot, you could save on auto insurance rates by driving safely, which is nice because you can just keep doing you. So keep on using that broken phone charger because it occasionally works. Keep quoting something you heard on a podcast as your own. Keep ignoring your sister's texts while you drive and after. And when baggage claim says, have a great trip, keep on saying, you too. And keep driving safely, and you could save with Snapshot from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification. 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Hey, you just heard J.M. Boswell there,
yeah,
man.
I did hear Sir J.M. Boswell. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. They actually make the great tip right there. If you just give them J.M. Boswell's pipe or cigar to your waitress or waiter, listen, they're not going to be back in frame.
That'd be a good tip.
That should be the new standard culture, the J.M. Boswell's pipe or cigar. Always open online and on select hours during the week. And remember, stop by Chambersburg, too, if you're down there.
And just to clarify, I'm not suggesting that waiters and waitresses don't deserve tips, because that's the only way they can make money. What I'm saying is our country is stupid. What I'm saying is the way we do it in our country, that restaurants are allowed to pay people $3 an hour and expect the public to support the rest of their lives, is completely and totally asinine. And so then the tipping culture is, You go to Starbucks. I don't ever get anything extra. I ain't paying $6 for a cup of coffee. To hell with that. But they've got a tip jar there for making your coffee.
Never.
No way.
Never.
Give me a break. I mean, this tipping thing is out of control.
Number one, if you go up to have to order yourself,
yeah,
you should never pay a tip on anything. Those people are making
money. Especially if you're getting $6 or $8 or $10 coffee. They should be giving me money back.
Yeah, they should be. That's insane. I never get Starbucks. I would never pay $6, $7 for a coffee. Never.
You know how much my coffee costs every day? Did I ever tell you this story?
How much does it cost you?
All right, well, I'm ridiculous, and this is stupid and embarrassing. My cup of coffee, I have a Keurig. My cup of coffee every day, take a guess. Just take a guess.
I'm going to guess this is extremely low. I'm going to say like 8 cents a cup of coffee.
It's 11.
11 cents.
7 cents of that is the Splenda.
Okay.
My cup of coffee, just the coffee, is 4 cents. I've done the math. I don't get the Keurig.
See, I get the cups. I'm not a big fan of just because my family likes it super strong. And
those
cups are
anywhere between 40 and 60 cents a
piece. Yeah, it's about 40 cents.
A big thing of Folgers.
Mm-hmm.
I have the little cup converter that you put in there, and then I take some Folgers out and put it in. Okay, but do you know how much Folgers I take out? Okay, you ever seen the amount of grains that's in your K-Cup?
Yeah, yeah.
I take about 20, 30% of that and put it in, and I run it through large twice.
Okay.
So I don't really have coffee.
You have just...
I have like brown, dirty water that if... And I've done the math. I did a Facebook post on this a couple years ago. So you take the Folgers. I use a very small amount of grains. And I get... my thing of Folgers lasts like 4 months. So I make, give or take, you know, 130 things of coffee through this. And it came out to 4 cents. And I was happy with myself. Like, hey, I'm sure the cheapest coffee.
I'm about to say you put that online. I guarantee this comment section.
I don't use real Splenda. We get the great value Splenda at Walmart, which is way cheaper. But I use two of those. I use two packets.
Okay.
Those are 7 cents.
Okay.
So instead of 4 cents a day for coffee because of the Splenda or the fake Splenda, my cup of coffee is 11 cents.
I bet you my cup of coffee is about 55 cents after creamer and then
that's
the K
better
cup,
than
so.
$7.
Absolutely. And it tastes better. It
these
tastes
people
better
that
too.
Spend $7 on coffee every day, you're $200+ a month on coffee. My God, how many bills can you pay?
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simply human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
When it comes to feeding your family, you want only the best, especially bread, only the freshest and best tasting. There's only one choice, Pacifico Bakery. Since 1947, Pacifico Bakery has been a staple in central Pennsylvania, and they continue to be a favorite with the freshest breads, rolls, and more. Be sure to visit Pacifico's outlet store, 1208 Fifth Avenue, Altoona, open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 4:30, and Saturday, 9 to 2:30, closed Wednesdays and Sundays. Give your family only the best bread from Pacifico Bakery of Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one at Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
All right. I know some days we don't really get into a lot of sports stuff. We had 5 people call. Chuck in Unionville tried to call in on the WNBA, and we never even circled back around to that, unfortunately.
Oh, hey, that's a shame we can't talk WNBA. I know Corey's kind of upset about
it.
But
you think there's very little chance Angel Reese ever becomes a really good basketball player.
No, I think there's like a 20% chance, 25% chance. I think there's a shot in the dark. I don't think she's going to be this Mount Rushmore player that we talk about.
We will do a show on this. I might do it this week, maybe next week. Other than Tiger Woods, I think Caitlin Clark is the most impactful player on her sport that we've ever seen in my life. Other than Tiger Woods.
I think that she's more impactful than Tiger Woods.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, golf was kind of fledgling a little bit. The NBA
but golf already had the success before.
Magic and Larry saved the NBA in the 80s, and then Jordan came along.
Women's basketball would never have been relevant if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark.
It's an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.